All right, who we got with us today? Joining us on the fight.
Come on, Giannis. Say your name.
Joining us on the fight, MKE.
Say Giannis.
Giannis, come on, man. Oh, okay. He know. He know your name.
No more things. You ready? Giannis, you ready? Where you going? Hey, producer.
Keep going.
All right, y'all. This is...
What is this? Oh, you ready?
Oh, okay.
Caught him off guard.
All right, y'all. We ready to start the show? We ready to start the show? All right, let's get it. So this is The Fight MKE. You know what I'm saying? And y'all know where we at. 0 to 100 MMA Fitness. And y'all know it's the boy Marlon Culpepper. And we sitting here with Coach Jay. You know what I'm saying? Also known as Jay, Designer Jay.
No, it's a prototype.
It's a prototype.
It's a prototype.
Yeah, y'all know who it is, man. It's the boy Mr. Watch Your What, Watch Your Tone. And we back in the building, man. Episode 2 of The Fight MKE.
It's only been 2, bro.
It's only been 2. Jeez. You know what I mean? Come on, Coach Marlon. We trying to get it busted, trying to get it cracking, man.
I live a rough life, man. I don't know what day it is. I just wake up and look at my Google calendar.
Oh, okay.
He only 19. Look at him.
Right, 19. I'm rough.
And we got the young prince in the building. Mr. Giannis in the building.
Say what's up. No.
Hey, Marlon, Coach Marlon, go ahead and let the people know, what is The Fight MKE?
The Fight is everything combat sports, everything mixed martial arts. We're talking about personal fights that are everyday struggles.
Okay.
So we're talking about all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Uh-oh. Giannis, what's going on, man? Oh, he locked you out. There you go.
He's been a little dramatic.
Right. He fighting thirst right now. This is what Giannis is fighting thirst right now. So,
and this is live, so you never know what might happen.
Exactly. But man, so I love the fact of, you know, us trying to use this platform to, you know, give not only MMA fighters, boxers, but, you know, the everyday person an opportunity to come on and talk about something that they fighting and, you know, try to use their stories, their trials and tribulations to help, you know what I'm saying, benefit others.
Okay. Right. And that's the purpose.
Right.
You know, everybody has a fight. You just got to sometimes get in and talk about it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. So on today's episode, we going to be, you know what I'm saying, we going to be a little light, but we going to discuss the whole George Floyd situation.
We going to do this?
Yeah, we going to do this, man. You know.
I woke up this morning positive.
Look. You know, I think we going to get some positive. I'm hoping for positive, you know, news on the tail end of this whole trial. I feel like it is headed in that direction, but you never know. We also going to discuss a little bit about the Jake Paul fight that happened. You know what I'm saying, this past weekend. So we gonna talk on the YouTuber and see what y'all think about that, man. So, you know, but before we jump into that, man, you know, Coach Jay, this is first time on a podcast. It's probably your first time on a podcast, right?
No.
Dang, I tried to be the first, man. I thought we had him, man. No, man. But Coach Jay, put us on notice about yourself, King.
Jeffrey Wright is my real name, mostly known as J Wright Prototype or Designer J. So, you know, design clothes, make everything from scratch, or have a manufacturer that can get things made, shoes, purses, bags, anything that you need.
Right. He also a loving father. He on daddy duty right now.
Daddy duty right now.
He's always on daddy duty.
You know what always saying? On daddy duty.
Right.
I got companies for my daughters, artistry. I also have a gentleman's line for my son. It's called Giannis Anfernee.
Yes, sir.
Be on the lookout for that one as well. That was all suits and, you know, kind of button-ups and different things, tires and like that, chinos that you would like to wear, you know, when you're trying to dress up, be business casual, just casually going out.
Yeah, man. I seen the design that you created for Yami. His last fight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
The jacket
was definitely fire. Went crazy with that.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about your fighting history. You know, I know you told me you did a little bit of boxing as well as MMA. Put us on
that. Yeah, I've been boxing for a long time. I had turned professional in 2014. you know, it was an up and down kind of career due to, you know, depending on who you being around, you know, boxing politics is
right.
is a hell of a politic that you that you never know what's gonna happen.
Okay.
Depending on, you know, the most closest people to you be the snakes. But but you know, you had your ups and downs. I had my wins and everything, I had my losses, but that also helped me try to provide information and everything for other fighters and everything, hence why I'm always coaching and trying to help people better themselves and use the experiences I had so they can avoid those same, you know, same experiences that I went through.
Tell them how you got here, man. How'd I recruit you? I've been trying to recruit you for a while. All
right.
Plotting, man. It was plotting.
To be honest, I can't remember. I didn't know to, but I came here. But I came here to do one of my videos when I was on a hot streak when I was boxing. I was on like a 3-4 knockout streak.
Go crazy.
Came here. We came to do a video when he was just opening up. It completely did not look nothing like this.
Okay.
No cage walls or
nothing. I didn't look nothing like this, nor as heavy. I was in here like Superman trying to jump off the walls, doing all kind of extra stuff that I was doing.
Right.
you remember?
Yeah, we're doing push-up contests. Oh, I can do that. I was like,
all right, do everything all in one video. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's just been I've been rocking with Marlon for a very, very long time. So yeah.
Right.
We have different styles. It's good, different really different there. Styles, but it works really well with the kid, with the youth and our team. We both do striking, but we do. I'm a kicker. We make jokes. I do kicking. I'm a taekwondo guy.
Okay.
He's a boxer, so right. We work with the hands and feet. And we tend to turn out pretty good strikers.
Right.
So it works out really well. But he's also a good dude. And that's one of the most important things. Because we've had sometimes you get a coach in, and might not be the best dude. I think above all else, Jay's a good dude.
Right.
Gets on my nerves, but he's a good dude.
I'm a good dude. I just don't care about your feelings, though.
Oh, okay. I don't have no feelings. So, Jay, I know you talked a little bit about you had – you know, 3 knockouts or...
Yeah, I was on a little hot streak when I first started.
Okay, so everybody always talk about their knockouts, but have you ever been knocked out?
I've been stopped, but not knocked out.
Okay. It was stopped, but...
I took a punch to the solar plex when I was out of shape.
Okay.
And it was just like... It knocked all the wind out of me, so okay. It was like one of those...
Made you feel like you have to boo-boo on yourself, huh?
No, it was just like, literally, I'm just trying to find wind. I could not breathe.
I feel like.
It's just one of those moments when you get hit in the right spot.
Right.
I mean, it is what it is.
Right. So what made you transition from, you know, actually being out there in the ring to now coaching?
It's the closest thing I can do to being close to the ring.
Okay. Right. I feel that.
Yeah, sometimes they gotta stop him from getting in, man. Sometimes right. We be in a fight, he be grabbing the cage and
trying. Right.
Get a relax, Jay.
Arguing with the fans, they thinking about man.
Snapping on the ref, I'm like, oh Lord, we about to pack it up. He's a competitor still. The fire still burns.
I might get my shoulder and everything better. Best believe it.
That's what's up, that's what man.
No, I know.
Look, we gonna train young Giannis to get out there too, huh?
He's ready.
Are you ready?
He likes slapping.
All right, man. Well, let's switch up the gears a little bit, fellas. Let's jump into this whole George Floyd situation.
Okay.
I've been paying a little bit attention to the court, the trial that's going on. Not sure if you have as well.
Yeah, man.
And you know, just rewatching the video and seeing the video resurface and different videos that has, you know, come out now mm-hmm. since the whole trial, like it's definitely, you know, it's a traumatic experience for I think a lot of us to, you know, just witness something like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we have to go through this court, you know, this trial system and just try to be able to be like, okay, no, he was wrong. No, you could tell he was wrong. We right. all know he was wrong. Like,
right.
It shouldn't even be a case right now. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
But go ahead and let me know how you feel about everything that's going on right now with the whole George Floyd trial.
I mean, for me, even if you separate the social justice aspect of it, right? If you take away the guilty, innocent thing, right? If you know anybody who trains mixed martial arts or trains self-defense or anything with combat sports or just personal self-defense, if you watch the video, you have a clear understanding that it was completely, completely wrong.
Right.
First of all, I have friends in law enforcement. There is no training to put your knee in somebody's neck for that extended period of time.
Right.
Right? That's the first thing. You're allowed to do whatever. If you're in a life or death situation as an officer, you are allowed to do whatever it takes to stop somebody. A lot of people don't know, understand that an officer can punch somebody if he feels like he has to stop you. Right.
Right.
Legally, he can make a closed fist. They don't usually do it, but if it comes down to it and their life is dependent on it, they can hit you with a closed fist.
Right.
That's totally within the rules, right? So you have to examine the whole thing. The first thing is, was he in a life and death situation? No, right? Anybody would tell you in self-defense, if I'm in danger or fearing for my life, my hand will not be placed in my pocket.
Right.
I am trying to keep my hands available to be used, right? There were no other officers around. They were watching, but there wasn't like helps in doing them. If I'm in trouble and let's say if I'm trying to arrest somebody and you two are watching, we're gonna have a problem.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, why didn't you help me grab this man? Right? Just being on top. If he was still struggling and my hands in my pocket, I can't keep my knee on his neck.
Right?
Kind of need it for balance, right? You know what I mean? So nothing. And there was nothing that really, really bothered me about the whole situation. The knee placement was my first issue,
because
you could choose anywhere in the body to put your knee on and hold him down.
If that's what your intent was.
Yeah. Your intent. If you're trying to be a little dirty, you want to be a little mean, you can put your hand on the middle, knee on his back, right? But if you look at, I'm not a grappling expert. I do MMA coach, whatever. Uh-huh. But what I do know of grappling and we know of ground and pound, there's a technique called knee on belly, right? So that means when I'm putting my knee on your sternum or chest area,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm taking my standing on my toes, basically transferring all my weight to one of my legs, and I'm pressing down on your on whatever body part I'm pressing down.
Right.
By doing that, I'm literally putting all of my weight onto your sternum, wherever I want to control you, right? And I think we demonstrated that earlier.
Yeah. So we got this demonstration.
Actually. Demonstrated earlier. He found you on your back.
On my back.
Yeah, on your back. So I'm not a jiu-jitsu expert at all, but
right.
There's a thing in MMA called knee on belly or ground pound, right?
Uh-huh.
So if I put my knee on your sternum here, right?
Uh-huh.
You can feel my weight, but
right.
It's not as bad, right?
Right.
Now watch when I turn from my foot on my toes.
Uh-huh.
You see the difference?
Uh-huh.
Right? Now imagine me doing it to your neck.
Right.
Right? And that's when he was on his toes. Even if I'm not all the way up, if I'm on my toes,
uh-huh.
I'm going to go from this angle. Now imagine me putting it on your neck right here.
Right, right.
Right across the back of your neck.
Right.
So basically when I'm on my toes like that, I'm putting all of my weight onto your sternum. So if I'm 145 pounds, like the officer was, imagine 145 pounds fully distributed on your neck.
Yeah, man.
For 10 minutes.
Almost. Yeah, no.
Right. So that's why I don't understand why there's even a thing. So like I said, knee on belly, normally here.
Right.
No big deal. Get on my toes. It's all I'm resting all my thing. Now imagine if I'm leaning onto it or having my hand in my pocket.
Or just more than just you.
Yeah.
Because it was the other officers on him at the same time.
So. Well, that wasn't the most part of it. The part of it just sitting on his neck for like that longer time.
Okay. Right?
Now, even if I would have put my knee on your back and did that, it would be uncomfortable, but it probably would kill you.
Right.
Across your back of your neck, it's crushing the air pipes.
Uh-huh.
It's going to have to cause some kind of effect.
Right, right.
So.
Appreciate that demonstration.
And he could tell you what the weight difference felt like. When
right.
I had my both knees on the mat.
You could definitely tell, like, you know, when you put that heel up, like how much pressure, like, you actually feel your weight just all shifted into, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. He could feel the difference
the pressure
between
on,
me putting my knees down, because now I'm distributing my weight between two legs, and then getting on my toes and distributing all my weight onto one leg, onto somebody's neck. Now imagine him be sitting there on cold concrete, hot concrete, whatever it was,
right.
for 10 minutes. Now, the officer only weighed 145 pounds, but 145 pounds on a man's neck for 10 minutes, I don't know how you couldn't cause serious injury. If you watch MMA, you put somebody in a chokehold, it's a, 10 second, if they're out, the referee's stopping the fight right away.
Uh-huh.
It's not a long struggle. It's not going to be 10 minutes of me choking you.
Right.
Right? It's you know what I mean? Minute at the most, 30 seconds at the most, I'm choking you. If you cannot move, the ref is stopping the fight and, you know, recovering. So I don't understand how anybody can look at that video and say that didn't could contribute to some long-term damage.
Right.
You know, and then the other thing was, what if he had pre-existing conditions? He was on drugs.
Yeah.
Then you definitely need to take more care into how you're handling somebody. Your job is to arrest and transport. The court system finds out if you're guilty or not, right?
Right.
you don't have to judge during execution. Just because somebody's doing wrong doesn't mean you get to kill him.
Right.
Right.
And it wasn't like he was like resisting. Like he was trying to be compliant the whole time. So
right.
Like if right. you're saying drugs took effect, you right. know what I'm saying? I think that would have had him more antsy or more, you know.
Right. But that's not the issue is though, my job is not to execute you. I don't care if, I mean, there's been people who went to school shootings and killed a lot of people, a lot of terrible people, and they have brought them home alive. Right. And there's been people who, all kind of atrocities in life, right? You know what I mean? They find them, you know, whatever. It's kind of like people want to justify it, and you can't justify it. You follow the law. The court system handle the other stuff. All your job is to subdue, arrest, and let the courts handle. Other than that, there's no other excuse for your behavior. It wasn't
right.
A lot of things happen, like split decisions. Like when people have the cop officers, I'm a little bit more understanding of things that happen when an officer has to make a split decision, right? I thought he had a gun. Because maybe, that leaves room for me saying maybe he did have a gun, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he thought he had a gun. I made a mistake. It's a terrible mistake, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But to see somebody to put their knee on somebody's neck for that long period of time, there's no valuable excuse to have it. You knew that what you were doing, and it's worse to me than anything else.
Right, I agree. How do you think this, the outcome of this trial could affect us moving forward?
Well, depending on what happens, it's going to tear the city apart at this point, right? It's more divide between officers. I'm concerned. Maybe I'm more of a thinking not negatively, but I'm wondering if people are going to hide more stuff, right?
Right.
Right? Now, you know what I mean? There's going to be more hiding. I'm worried about, are officers going to be making better decisions? Are they going to make worse decisions because they're afraid of, you know what I mean? Or they're not, because sometimes now we see things where people are being under-policed, right? Because they're afraid of getting involved. Mm-hmm. I've seen officers drive past stuff because, like, you know, I'm not going to get involved.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? When they need help, right? Right. So you think about the other part of it. Like, you know what? I don't want to chance it, right? Or now you have people who are super afraid of officers. They're going to commit horrible, horrible decision-making because they're scared of getting arrested, period, because they think they might die.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these little narratives are all screwed up because somebody else made a terrible decision on somebody else's life. And there's no argument, right? There's no argument where I can go, oh, well, you know, he made a mistake. There's no mistake. And I can't even say proper training, right? Because there's no training that told you to do this.
Right.
Right? There's chokehold training. I teach you how to do a proper chokehold without killing somebody, right? But this wasn't even that. That's not even, like, I can't say, well, officers need better training. No, this is just, you thought you could be and you're being a bully, basically. And you were being filmed being a bully, and you didn't even stop to do
that. Didn't even care.
Pure bullying, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a bully thing, and I just don't understand it. I don't get it.
Do y'all think the, the new order that they're trying to put into place in the sense that, you know, where we're trying to get officers to be held more accountable in the sense that they will lose their pension, is that what that is? Yeah, like, do y'all think that will help change things?
I hope so, but at the same time, I think there's a narrative of superiority that has to happen where they don't think I'm more superior than the people that I'm serving. And I think there's a level of I have two things to think about that. Like, our society in general we have to do better too.
Right.
And we have to promote better things for our people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to promote the understanding of what's entertainment and what's real and how I'm living my lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side is people have to understand, no matter what, you're still serving human beings.
Right.
At the end of the day. And that's for everybody. I don't care if you're a member of the KKK, you're still a human being. You still have to, if you get caught with some stuff, you still deserve, by the law, you still got to go to court, you still got to get whatever. You can't just kill somebody because they don't believe the same things you believe.
Right.
They're different than you. And I have that thing. And I for me personally, I don't know because I think there's a narrative that a superiority to some people. They think they're better than somebody else because they make more money.
Or yeah.
They live in it might not even be a black and white thing. It's just that, oh, he's on drugs. I'm better than him.
Uh-huh.
No, you're not. He's still a human being.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's a small window between being here and being there. You know, one bad decision can lead you down the road of being that way. Because George Floyd didn't start off being a bad person.
Right.
He was playing basketball, you know, with Steven Jackson. He was a high-level athlete at one point, right? He moved to Minnesota to get his life together better. So it wasn't like he was started off just being a horrible human being or a person that, like, you know what I mean, on drugs.
Right.
Just bad turn, bad decision-maker.
Right.
You know what I mean? And everybody's close to that. You know what I mean?
I mean, we all learn from our mistakes, and it seems like that's what that man was trying to do. So,
yeah, but the media always seems to bring up the past of what they did back in the day, other than what they're trying to do now.
Right.
So they always got to make some narrative that why, and to try to justify what they did to us compared to some troublemaker that shot up something. Oh, they just had a troubled childhood and all this other stuff. It's like, okay, this. How are you going to try to change the narrative of somebody killing somebody other than somebody being killed?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
And that's the one thing that's like, there's no balancing. There's like no accountability. Everybody wanted to be the victim of everything. It's like, oh, I'm the victim even though I killed the person. Like, how are you the victim of anything when you deliberately killed somebody?
Right.
But it's not even in any, it's not, if you say, well, these are the laws they wrote. According to the laws that people write, it's still illegal. You can't do that. You are not allowed to execute people.
Uh-huh.
It's not what we do. That's not how it works. If I can't just go in the middle of the street and execute somebody because I think they're wrong. I have to follow the law.
Right.
Follow the law.
Like, police officers can't be the judge, jury, and executioner.
It's not Judge Dredd out here where you just make a decision right then and there and you execute them.
It's just like the way the world is showing that the police, they feel like they actually are the law.
Mm-hmm.
So especially when you have so many different cases that you have people being killed and they're getting away with it.
Mm.
Sound like we finding no probable cause, and you see it directly on the film exactly everything they did.
Mm-hmm.
But you still saying that you didn't find anything wrong. Like, how did you not? Because if somebody else of the same descent did anything like that, y'all would have had them thrown in court the same damn day, the next day, and already sentenced. But you gonna put them on pay leave, and you gonna try to figure something out to try to have some kind of way to get them out of it. Yeah. And it's like that's showing the people that y'all really don't care.
Right.
And like I said, we also have to work on, our interaction, level of interaction with people. I don't like having people decide things for me.
Uh-huh.
So I try to limit my interactions with people that can decide things for me. So we have to talk about that too, on level two. We're like, how do we stop our interactions with people making decisions? You know what I mean? For us, bad decisions.
Right.
You know what I mean? But sometimes, again, like, you're not even doing anything. You know what I mean? You got incense hanging from your car. You know what I mean? Some weird laws, weird things. Even with that, you can't even say that because you don't even know. You know, it's hard. You know what I mean?
It's definitely hard being a black man in America. And we gonna continue to pay attention to the trial. Like I said, I hope that we do, you know, get justice for George Floyd. At the end of this, I feel like it is handed and pointed in that direction. So we go keep paying attention to that. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk more on it as the trial progress. So.
Yeah. And here's the thing. One more thing about that. I'll leave it alone. I hope we can figure out a peaceful way to do whatever we're doing. Because right now, America is in a real weird state. If you notice, shootings are up. Mass shootings are up.
Man, it was just another one.
There's young men getting killed. And by police, and we're not sure what happened, and people are analyzing. Been like two within a week. Summer's coming around. It just seemed like it's a bad little melting pot.
Yeah.
Right now, it's about to happen right now. And people getting, you know, the vaccine and everything.
It's crazy because I think, like, do y'all feel the same way that when it's warm outside, this is normally when stuff like this, you know what I'm saying?
Jumping off. And it's a bad melting pot right now for that kind of stuff, especially Minnesota and places. I am super concerned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't think there's other people from different sides, political stuff happening.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. You can't be safe nowhere nowadays, man. You definitely can't. But all right, man, let's switch the gears once again.
What's up?
Get that out. You know what I'm saying? Get that out there, man. Just wanted to talk a little bit about that. But let's talk about this past weekend. You know what I'm saying? The Jake Paul fight. You know, Jake Paul.
Said positive.
That wasn't even a fight, man. Oh, that was a UFC fight, way better than that.
I thought we said we're shipping some positive.
Oh, okay. So, Don, what y'all thought about the fight, man?
I think Jake Paul is a genius. I want to say that he's way smarter than I am.
Right.
He's learned how to push the needle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Jake Paul is actually, he's a decent boxer. He's an amateur boxer, right? But he figured out how to turn his amateur boxing into getting paid, which is incredible because most amateurs don't get paid. So he skipped the amateur part and decided, like, he got enough skill where he could beat
just go against top contenders. Like,
well, he played.
Who's the top contender?
Oh, okay.
Well, no,
that's all I want to hear.
He played the system. Like, he goes, okay, I have enough boxing. He's been boxing. So Jake Paul's been boxing for a while.
Okay. Right?
So he was a pretty good athlete in high school, like football, and I think he might have did. I'm not sure if he did wrestling or not, but I know for sure he was.
His brother boxes too right now.
Right. But they've been boxing for years, okay. So they just, you know what I mean? So they got, and you've been boxing. If you do anything for years, you probably can beat the most average person if they ain't ever really boxed before.
Right. Like,
you know, something you're going to pick up on. And then he figured out, okay, who can I box and make a little bit, and beat, and make it like everybody want to turn in.
Right.
Nate Robinson, NBA player, right? NBA player.
Well, it started off with the YouTuber.
Other YouTuber, you know, whatever. He knew he had enough skill to beat him.
It was a revenge fight for his brother losing.
Right.
Oh, that's what that was.
Right. Yeah, it was a revenge fight for his brother losing. Then he went into Nate Robinson because it built up so much hype with everything else.
Right.
Tyson and everybody was coming back.
And it played on stereotypes, right, too. Like, oh, it's a little white boy going to get beat up by the black dude. Uh-huh. Right? And first of all, Nate Robinson's the shortest dude in the NBA, right? So he's 6'7", right? This big dude. This
ain't nobody ever seen Nate Robinson fight.
No, right. He never seems to fight the NBA.
Yeah, we see why.
Well, it's a difference, you know what I mean? So you know you can.
It's the difference between fighting in the hood.
It's different too. In the ring.
Like that condition is serious, and that's something I learned from just like, you know what I'm saying, doing a few classes.
It's a different thing. And martial arts is the great equalizer. I love about MMA, combat sports, race plays very little part in somebody being successful, right? We done seen people get lit up no matter what color you are.
Right.
No matter where you came from, you come from the farm, you can come from the inner city. We done seen it, right? We done seen it.
Right.
We done seen people from the hood. I'm going to whoop this one. No, you got to have a long day with that young man is something different, right? So it's a great equalizer, right? So he figured, okay, I'm gonna play, and people gonna want to see me get whooped. I talk a lot of stuff. He don't mean half the stuff he say. He just say it because
it's generate numbers.
Generated, yep.
It generate dollar signs.
Yeah, because
it's one thing you learn about boxing.
Yeah.
The more you talk,
right,
the more money is gonna be put on the line because people want you shut up or people want you to keep it rising.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, he keeps talking, and he doesn't say anything that crosses the line, right? He don't say anything offensive, right? He don't say anything racist or anything that's gonna cause us trouble. Just enough to get annoyed, right?
Okay.
So then he gets there and he knocks out. He probably didn't expect to knock Nate out like that. He probably thought he was going to be a little bit more of a fight. He knocked him out. Oh, okay. Now he starts talking crazy. He knows somebody's going to bite, right?
Yeah,
he did say
he was going to knock him out, though.
He did.
But he always said that, though. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, he did put up a bet against Tyron Woodley, right?
I don't know that, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he does that, right? Oh, it's for the next fight.
That was for the next fight.
Nate. He probably didn't expect to, you know, oh, I knocked him out, whatever, great. Okay, so then he moves on and then he finds... If anybody knows anything about Ben Askren, he's a phenomenal wrestler. He was, I mean, even when he was doing MMA, he barely struck.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, there's been fights where he threw like one punch and then he's on top of grinding you out wrestling-wise and submission-wise, which is fine. He's great, you know what I mean? That's what he was. But Ben was past kind of like that part of his life where he's competing like that, right? His last fight was, he got knocked out by... Was it the knee? No, he fought somebody else in the UFC after that. He got knocked out, I think, was it Mickey Gall? No, it wasn't Mickey Gall.
I'm not even sure.
Anyway, he got knocked out by Jorge Masvidal with a flying knee. Right?
Okay.
Hit him with I don't know if you ever seen the video of the flying knee. With the beginning of the match, so as soon as the bell ring, Jorge runs across the ring, catches him with a flying knee. He rushes the shoots, get caught, put to sleep, right? So it was a perfect storm because Ben Askren talks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Talks a lot of stuff, right? So... Jake, it's a perfect fight, right? Because you know you can pull his ego in and get him in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that he still has boxing skill. He doesn't have to worry about wrestling, having to take down, you know, whatever
else.
He was almost guaranteed to win that fight, but he also knows Ben Askren is going to be a good sparring partner as far as talking.
Okay.
Ben's going to talk. There's some dudes that are not going to talk. Like,
right.
You know, there's some dudes that's not going to give you nothing, but, you know, Ben Askren is going to give you something. He's going to say something. Right, so it was a perfect little storm. So I don't know what's next for this guy, but I don't think he's going to ever really fight.
So he got this knockout in what, 54 seconds?
Which really wasn't a knockout. He got dropped and he popped back up.
Okay.
All right, because if anything else, it would tell you.
Here, let's watch the clip.
He was out of there.
Let's watch the clip.
All right. Right.
No, keep watching.
Okay. He's out of it. He's lost it already. He has no equilibrium right now. So the referee has to stop it. Because he almost let him go until he tried to rush in too fast. then he reevaluates them.
So you don't think he had time to come back to?
Watch his legs.
Okay.
Watch his body language.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
Okay.
But for MMA, if he would have got hit like that, he could have. There's a part in MMA where if he would have got hit like that, he could grab, shoot for the legs,
right,
go into a grappling position, and kind of get your equilibrium back a little bit.
Okay.
Right. So it's a little bit different sport. Like MMA, you can get dropped in a fight, like, oh my God, the fight's over, and then all of a sudden he scrambled to the legs,
right,
he scrambled, oh, he's still up, and the guy's still swinging. So the sport's a little bit different. But yeah, for boxing, he was dropped, and also it was exhibition. It wasn't really a, you know what I mean, it's not legit.
So you saying against a real fighter, Jake Paul ain't got
the juice.
I don't think he has enough experience either.
Okay.
All
right. He ain't got the juice for somebody that actually studies and does repetition of boxing.
Right.
Do you understand he fought a YouTuber, a professional YouTuber. Basketball player.
Right.
And now an MMA fighter that was a wrestler.
Wrestler, right. He hasn't
There was nobody that was in boxing.
Right.
Or just even a striker, right? There's some guys in MMA that, like, is just a different type of mindset, right? So, uh-huh. Ben Askren really he was so high elite wrestling that he's never really been in some, like, war. Tyron Woodley.
He's been
in some striking wars. Yeah. He's been in there with some striking guys that really can strike, and you can hit him, he's going to be okay. You know what I mean? He's not going to fold so fast.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think he has a potential to be really, really good, but I think that it's more about the money right now.
And you know, Tyron did end up getting into it with Jake.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's his trainer or his one of his coaches. Mm. And I do have a video for that. Mm. The guy go by the name of Jay Leon Love or something. Is that what it is?
Oh,
name?
Jay Leon Love, the boxer.
Yeah, man. So look, they got into it, man.
You don't know about no boxing gloves. You don't know about no boxing gloves, man. You don't know about no glove, man. You know gravity like you know about these, man. You know about these guys. You know I can fight,
though.
You
go
for the clout. I ain't never doing it for the clout.
Chasing.
I do this.
Chasing.
I do this.
Chasing.
I do this, champ.
I got my belts. This is my dog day.
That's cool. But you don't know about these, though. You don't know about these, though, young blood.
You trying to amp himself up into one?
No, I'm just saying. Never. Come on, man. You can't me any day of the week.
What's your name
again?
Jay
Leon
Love.
Jay Leon Love. Yeah. Yep. Signed to Al Hammond.
Oh, cool.
Been a champ already. Did that. I got my belts too, champ.
I'm already Hall of Fame, bro.
That's cool. That's good. You still can't f with me.
All right,
no. And we talking about that.
Ain't no money behind you, bro.
Ain't no money behind you.
Ain't no money behind you.
Ain't no money behind you.
Did your stock just go down?
My stock's still down.
Your stock ain't
down. My stock's still down. And I got five words.
So is Jay Leon all hype? Or is it Jay Leon?
He can fight, but as he said, I don't think it's going to be a money fight, though.
Huh?
Ain't
okay.
Gonna be a money fight.
Okay, so he on this Jake Paul-ish.
But I think they look like two different weight classes.
Yeah, I think Willie might be bigger.
Uh-huh.
What do you fight at?
170, I think it is.
Yeah, that's definitely not it. He like at like 147, 140, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's a whole different...
Yes. Okay,
so that's a whole other person in between them.
Willie hits.
Uh-huh.
He hits. One thing about Willie, he got a lot of power. He's a wrestler, but he has more of a strike known for his power, striking power.
Okay.
Even then, though, he still would get outclassed, though.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
it's just my bias.
I feel that.
Anytime you go to somebody else's arena.
When you go to somebody else's arena, you got to understand who has the advantage. Like McGregor going to Mayweather.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He knew exactly that he wasn't going to be able to last, so he made sure he just drained himself out, and what did he do? He stopped him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Julian Dude probably have a better fairing with Willie. He probably beat Willie because he's just boxer. Like I said, he's a boxer.
Uh-huh.
But I think Willie would probably beat Jake just because he don't have the same skill.
It's right.
Different skill levels. I don't know.
It'd be pretty interesting to see, man. Jake been talking a lot, man, even after the fight.
But I don't think Jake's going to chance it, though.
Yeah.
He's not going to chance it.
Nah,
for one, boxing don't even want him. They're like, bro, you bad for the sport as it is.
Right.
Like, you come in trying to talk about all this other stuff, and you talking about you're a great boxer and that you're 3-0 and all this other stuff, but you fought nobody that was actually in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to skip the line a little bit, right? When you're amateur is when you pay your dues and you're working hard. It's not easy to become to make that kind of money that you're making off of fights, right? That you earn that, so it's not going to be sit well with other boxers,
right? Right.
Just like, you know, when CM Punk went to MMA, people were pissed because he could just skip the line. You know what I mean?
CM Punk.
Skipped the line. People were upset.
Just like Brock Lesnar.
All right. Yeah.
But Brock Lesnar, man.
But he earned it. But I understand he earned it in the ring, though.
Right. Brock Lesnar's something different, though. All right. You know what I mean? Brock Lesnar's a different animal.
But it was all hype at first, though.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Just because who he is or how big he was in wrestling. Right. And then all of a sudden he came right over to the UFC when it's so hype, the height of the UFC and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then you got the heavyweights around in the fight.
Right. I feel like. Right.
But Brock Lesnar also had the wrestling credentials.
Uh-huh.
Like, not just pro wrestling, but college wrestling. He was a beast. He was an animal. And then, like, sometimes some people translate really well too, and sometimes it doesn't translate. Like, CM Punk didn't have any, I think he did like some kickboxing classes or something like that. He didn't have the chops, like
right.
The wrestling credentials, collegiate wrestling credentials, because that translates really well to MMA.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley too.
Yep. Bobby Lashley, you know, another high college, like, you know, he was just an animal wrestling, so he came over, his MMA career was pretty decent too.
That's what's up, Yeah, man, so it was a good weekend of fights, though, I guess, you know.
Yeah, there was good UFC fights.
Yeah, shout out to Jake Paul, I guess, you know.
I finally actually watched the UFC fight.
Right.
I don't ever watch, and that's the one thing, the funny thing about it. I tell people, I'm like, I train people in MMA. I know about MMA. I done fought in MMA, but it's just like, I never watch
them. Okay.
And I actually sat there and watched, and it was people actually doing some good exchanges last night. The one that was on...
Do you remember you want? Oh, the last fight was good.
Gastelum
and
Gastelum and whatever the other guy's name is.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was a good one. Then the fight before, I think it was the fight before them, they was going at it too.
Oh, you're talking about what was it? I don't remember the guy's name, but he's like older. Andre Oslowski.
Oh, okay.
Oslowski's like 42, I want to say 41, and he's still destroying.
Going
kids.
Crazy.
Still destroying kids. He won the fight.
That's what's up.
Fighting younger people. He fought on last minute. And he fought like a month ago, like turnaround. Two months ago. Yeah, that man's still an animal.
Yeah.
But he's been fighting. I think he made his UFC debut like UFC 42 or something like that. Or 200. Like, yeah, he's been fighting for a while.
Dang. Okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I just had to think about the number they was on. Like,
yeah. I think he made his debut like UFC 42 or something like that.
Because they on what number right now?
265.
Dang.
Right. That's why I was like, wait a minute.
Man. Going crazy.
Yeah,
all right, man. Hey, every episode of the Fight MKE, we want to, you know, try to reach Joe Rogan. Because, right. You know, he the biggest podcaster in the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this segment right here is dedicated to Joe Rogan. And this is how we're going to end the show today, man. We're going to end the show with Joe Rogan experience. Where we, you know, right now I'm in the midst of trying to reach out to people who have met Joe Rogan. I want to hear their feedback as far as their experience with him. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I use his podcast, Marlon, and I use his podcast as far as, you know, just influence.
Right.
And, you know, today we're going to bring y'all a clip of Joe Rogan speaking to us a little bit about motivation and being self-motivated. So, man, this is how we're going to end the show. I appreciate y'all for joining us on The Fight MKE. Y'all know who it is. It's the boy Mr. Watch It What, Coach Marlon, Coach Jay. Y'all just been put on notice.
Get obsessed with life improvement. Find things that you enjoy doing that are difficult. Do them and get better at them. Seems so simplistic. It seems like a ridiculous, idealistic point of view, but it's effective. Well, you need some form, some amount of pride and some amount of ego to get good at things in the first place, because it's such a counterintuitive notion, because you have to have a belief in yourself. You have to be able, like when you start out at jiu-jitsu, you're a white belt. Like, I remember being a white belt and being like, oh my God, I am fucking never going to get good at this. I'm going to suck forever. But to look at people who are better than you and know they had to have sucked at one point in time. Okay, there's somewhere along the end of this tunnel, there's got to be a light. I just got to keep going.